because she actually did her research before a mission went into operation mode. But she refrained from saying so to keep the peace. She always bit her tongue with Jake to keep the peace. There should be a ladder 20 feet ahead on your right. Access runs into a closet in the back office on the first floor of the gallery. Jake didn't respond, but seconds later his light illuminated the metal ladder, exactly where Marley had said it would be.
Bentley, system check. Security system is down now.
The sound of keys clicking reverberated through the line, and Marley pictured Pierce Bentley, a former Secret Service agent, hacking into the gallery's security system in the back of the nondescript van parked a block away on the dark DC street. That was where she needed to be, in case something went wrong, and she had to give the men inside split-second directions. On site, in the van, in the event the satellite feed went down, or the cops showed up, or any number of things erupted to ruin the op. But no, because she was a woman and not one of the guys, Jake made it clear her place was anywhere besides in the field. That fact burned more than she liked. For the most part, working at Aegis was rewarding. She loved the guys, loved the work, and the pay was a serious perk. But Jake's gender bias was really grating on her last nerve. Especially lately, when his resistance to her having anything to do with field work only seemed to be growing stronger. He lets Eve participate in the ops. Her brain skipped over the only other female who worked for the company. Yes, Jake let Evelyn Wolf participate in the ops. Sent her all over the world, in fact. And his excuse, when Marley called him on it, was that Eve was ex-CIA and knew how to handle herself. He was right. Eve was as tough as they came. But that didn't mean Marley couldn't deal with the pressure. She'd grown up in the security game, for crying out loud. Her father was the CEO of Omega Intel and had dragged her all over the globe on his missions from the time she was old enough to carry her own backpack. When it came to field work, raids, rescues, extractions, she'd seen it all. And Jake knew that.
Addison.
Startled by the sound of Jake's voice in her ear, Marley flinched.
Yes? I asked if you're monitoring the police bands. Where the hell did you go?
Of course she was monitoring the police bands. Still no chatter on the bands, she said clearly. Then, under her breath, I tell you if there were. I'm not a freaking rookie.
Perimeter's clear as well.
Mick Headley's Australian accent echoed through the line. Marley glanced at her map just to be sure. Mick and a couple of other guys were stationed outside the building, waiting for Jake's mark. Their op this time was simple. Test the Pulaski Gallery security system. No big deal. Aegis had done jobs like this dozens of times. But any number of things could backfire. And Marley still wanted to be there.
What about Wolf?
On the screen to her left, Jake's light shined over the interior of a small office made up of a desk, file cabinet, and a trio of chairs. If he'd heard Marley's muttered comment, he didn't acknowledge it. Then again, Jake rarely acknowledged her, let alone her feelings. Marley pushed down the frustration and told herself to stick to the business at hand. What did she care if Jake noticed her? He was her employer, nothing more. Which was exactly the way she wanted it. She should be coming out any time, Marley announced, flipping screens again so the layout of the gallery popped up. Turn right when you open the door. A back hallway runs from the offices toward the kitchen. She'd better not be having too much fun in there, Zane Archer muttered over the line as Jake headed down the dark hallway. He, like Headley, was also stationed outside, waiting on cleanup duty.